bless this weekend, on this Father's Day weekend. You know, it's not easy. It is not easy being a good dad today. Notice I didn't say dad, I said a good dad. It's also not easy, especially not easy, being a godly Christian father today. Especially in this media, entertainment, pleasure-seeking, materialistic, driven society that we live in today. It is not easy raising our children to know Jesus. I was looking on the internet, just looking at websites about, what makes the perfect father, characteristics of what would make a good father. And there are just tons of lists and information of what makes a good father. I went to this one, and by the way, I loved a lot of this stuff. It was a lot of good information. This one says, is how to become a good dad. Step number one says, you are the protector of your child. So, in other words, the child feels safe. Step two, you are the leader of the house. You're the boss. Right, honey? Step three, you are the guide to your children. They look up to you. Step four, you must be innovative with your children. Step five, you must spend time with your children. How important is that? Step six, you must provide for their needs. Step seven, you must be there for them no matter what. And I thought as I read some of these, and I read this and many lists and different formulas they have for a good father, and there is just, in all these lists and all this information, I noticed there was one ingredient that was missing. And that ingredient is that fathers need Jesus in their lives. See, if you really want to be a good father, you can follow, the plans of the world and be a decent father, and you'll do an okay job. But if you want to be the best father that you can be, it's when you have a relationship with Jesus. What our society desperately needs is fathers that really know God, that really love God and know Him. I'm not talking about fathers that profess Christianity but don't live it. I'm not talking about fathers that go to church once in a while. I'm talking about Spirit-filled fathers that are walking with Jesus, that their great purpose in their life is to know and to serve God and to please their God. It's the kind of father that understands this Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. We need fathers that understands what it means to lay down our lives for Jesus. We need fathers that understand 1 John 5, there of chapter 2, verse 15 to 17, do not love the world or the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of the life is passing away. We need those kind of fathers that understand the will of God, that love God. That's what we're looking for. That's what we want to be today. There's a letter that was sent to Dear Abby, and it talks about a young man from a famous family, and this young guy was about to graduate from high school. It was a custom in that affluent neighborhood for the parents to give their children on graduation day an automobile, just something everybody in that neighborhood did. Well, Bill and his father, they went out looking for that perfect automobile. They spent months doing that. And they finally found the perfect automobile, and Bill knew that that car was going to be his on graduation. But you can imagine his disappointment when on the eve of his graduation, Bill's father handed him, instead of keys, handed him a wrapped Bible, gave him a Bible. Bill was so angry and upset. He opened it up. He found it was a Bible. He threw the Bible on the ground, went storming out of the house, and never saw his father again. He didn't come home till his father was dead. He heard about his father dying, goes home. And as he's going through some of the belongings, looking what might be inherited to him, he comes to, there's the old Bible. And there's the dust on it. And some of you have heard this story because he opens up the Bible and there is a cashier's check that's dated for the night of his graduation or the day of his graduation with the exact amount that he would need for the car that he wanted. See, this was a father that understood that life is more than the things we possess. He understood success If you don't have God, if you don't have this, what do we really have? The best blueprint is outside, folks. It's not on the internet. It's in the Word of God. And there are hundreds and hundreds of verses that tell us as fathers how to be good fathers. I just think of all these incredible verses. Train up a child when he's young, and when he's old, he'll what? Or in Ephesians 6, verse 4, where it talks about bring them up in the training, the admonition, or the encouragement, the instruction of the Lord. Verse after verse. But there's a verse that I just came across, and it just hits you. It's like the perfect blueprint for a father. Now, Father, are you interested in having the perfect blueprint in one Bible verse? Are you ready? You know what the Bible verse is? It's John 3:16. Say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Right there is the best blueprint that I have ever found, right there in that verse. Here we find the blueprint for being a good father. It's the blueprint of our loving Heavenly Father. And as I looked at this blueprint, I said there are 4 points in this verse that make up the blueprint. And it's how the Father relates to us, our Heavenly Father. And I looked at this, and if we will do this, if we would take these same points that we find in this verse, we can relate to our kids the same way as our Heavenly Father relates to us. And the first thing we see is we see a God or a Father of love. For God so loved the world that he gave. Love. Now, of course, there are many types of love in Scripture and in this world. There's eros, there's philo, there's love between friends and so on. But there's the agape love. And we know, if you know about this verse, this word for love that John is using is the agape, it's the self-sacrificing, it's the unconditional love. It only comes from God. It is divine. It's the kind of love that loves no matter what. It puts no conditions on the love. That's the agape kind of love. There's not a condition. Like if there's too much sin in your life or wickedness or whatever your condition is, God loves us anyway. Aren't you glad for a father like that? A heavenly father. All that we do, all the bad we do, our God still loves us. That's good news. See, the world doesn't understand God's love. The worldly love is this love that says, I will love you if you love me back. I'll love you as long as you treat me right. But that is not the love of God. God loves us, period. And so we see this first important aspect of the blueprint is love. And as I looked at this love, I started to look at this love a little bit more, and I believe there's 4 aspects of this love. First of all, there is a supreme fact that God loves us. Is that good news? It's just a fact. You can't change it. He loves you. And that's good news. The second fact is the supreme proof of his love. What's the supreme proof of God's love? He gave. The supreme act of God's love for us is he gave. The supreme gift of his love was Jesus, his only begotten Son. And the supreme goal of his love is that every one of us experience eternal life with our Father. Isn't that beautiful? So first of all, the supreme fact of his love. He loves us without condition. There is nothing, absolutely nothing you can do to make him love you more. He loves you just because he made you, just because you're here. He loves you. Nothing you can ever do would change the fact that God is in love with you. Do you feel like you're in love with God? Do you feel that love today? Some of you are struggling in your life so much, you lose that reality that God loves you more than anything. He loves you. And just as our Heavenly Father loves us without condition, if we are going to be a good, godly Christian father, we need to love our children without condition. We do not say, I will love you as long as you obey me. I will love you as long as you succeed or get good grades or look this way and don't dress like that. And all the list that we have for our children. If you do this, I will love you. And how many children's lives are destroyed by fathers that love them with a condition? See, what we need is, as godly parents, we need this gift of love. We need to love our kids unconditionally with this agape love. But as you look at this agape love and you realize this love only comes from God, we need God to fill us with that kind of love. And so that's why every day I get on my knees in the morning and I ask God, God, fill me with your love. Because I found out I can't love right. I can't love my wife right. I can't love my kids right. I can't love anybody. I don't love you unless God puts that love in my heart. And so every day, if you want God's love, be praying for God to fill you with his love. The second part of the blueprint is the supreme proof of his love, and that is he gave. The Father gave, for God so loved the world that he gave. See, the supreme proof of God's love is that he gave, and the foundation of our relationship with God is built on all the things that God has given to us. Do you realize God has given us everything? The breath that we have, that we're alive right now, is given to us by God. The life that you have is given by God. Your parents, your talents, your abilities, the way you look, everything is given to us by a loving Heavenly Father. Is that awesome? Has he blessed us? God gives us everything. And the same way God demonstrates his love to us by what he gives to us, we demonstrate our love to our kids by what we give to them. We as earthly fathers are given responsibility to provide for their physical, emotional, their mental, their spiritual needs. But how many fathers in our society are absent, are not there, that they don't take the responsibility serious? Do you realize there's 39.6% of our kids in America grow up without a dad? The numbers are rising. By the way, that's doubled since when I was a kid. And it's amazing what this is doing to our society. The impact on our culture is amazing. It's staggering. Five times, if you're a child without a father, you're five times more likely to live in poverty and to commit crimes. Nine times more likely to drop out of school. 20 times more likely to end up in prison. See, our kids need their dads. So first, our kids need their fathers to provide for their financial needs, to put a roof over their head, to take care of, to give them food, make sure there's food on the table, to take care of their basic needs. But there's something else I want to throw in here. Dads need to teach their kids how to work. Do you realize this generation, we're losing a whole bunch of kids that don't know how to work? A whole generation. They think if they sweat, they're being tortured. And they always go to me, well, we know, Dad, we know about you. You know, you walked in snow barefoot uphill both ways and all that, right? We don't do that anymore. But see, as a father, we need to teach kids the value of work, a work ethic. Do not give them everything. That's teaching them. That's setting up for failure, because when hard times come, and guess what? Hard times come in life. They won't know how to deal with it. And so we give. We give to our kids. We supply their needs. But there's something else that we give to our children, and we give them the gift of time. You know, it's so easy in this society, this materialistic-driven society, it is so easy to get so caught up as fathers, providing for our kids, you know, the home and paying for the car and doing all this stuff and paying for vacation. We're so caught up in the busyness of life and work and so on that you can actually go years by and you can look back and say, man, I hardly had any time with my children. Yet if we're going to be godly Christian parents, we need to be spending time with our kids. I grew up with a father that was always gone. And he was always gone and distant. I would see him just once in a blue moon as a kid. And then, of course, my parents were divorced at 13. Never heard from him, never saw him, no graduation, all those kind of things. Those things leave a wound in your life. And some of you, if you've had absent fathers that haven't been there, you know what I'm talking about. It's a gaping wound that just continues on your whole life. But I've found something. I found there's a loving Heavenly Father that can heal the wound. I found that He can heal you, and He can fill the void, and He can become the Father maybe that you've never had, because I found a Father in my Heavenly Father today. I praise God for a Heavenly Father that can heal today. If you have bitterness towards Father, anger, all that, God wants to set you free. He wants you to let it go and find the Father, our Heavenly Father. See, it's more than just taking care of our kids, providing financially. It's more than giving them even time or providing education for your kids. We also give them the gift of a good, godly example. Our kids are watching every move that we make, right? And everything we do, they do. Have you noticed that? Is that kind of scary to you? Now, if you're the perfect father, that's okay. But most of us aren't perfect. And it's a little scary, you know, because we fail so often. Are we really giving our kids an example of Jesus? A Christ-centered life? Are we really giving that to our kids? Do our kids hear us criticizing and judging, gossiping about others instead of loving and praying for people? I tell you, it's convicting when you start studying about being a good father, because all of a sudden I see all my failures. There was a mom, he tells a story. It was a busy day in Costa Mesa, California, her home. Now she has 10 kids and one on the way. So things, she says, was always kind of hectic. But on this particular day, it was overly hectic because of one of her little boys. Lynn was 3 years old. And no matter where she went, little Lynn was right there, right at her heels, following mom everywhere around the house. Now, she was trying to encourage little Lynn to go out and play outside. You know, she couldn't hardly get anything done. A little frustrating to her. And she said, "Why don't you go out and play or something?" He'd simply say, "Oh, that's okay, Mommy. I'd rather be here with you." And he continued to bounce around and be happy right behind Mom. But after Mom turned around and stepping on her son's toe about the fifth time, the patience was running thin, and she says, "Son, I want you to go out and play." And this little boy looks down at this little boy with green eyes, and he says, "Well, Mom, in primary, my teacher told me to walk in Jesus' footsteps, but I can't see him, so I'm walking in yours." Now, we're talking about raising children, right? Baby dedication. But kids are going to follow you, your example, everything you do. Everything we do, our kids will follow. They need a good example. They need a father to provide for their physical needs. They need a father that will give them quality time on a regular basis, on a daily basis. They need a father that will give them a godly example. But there's one more gift that we need to give to our children, and it's the greatest gift. It's "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." The Father, our loving Heavenly Father that loves us more than you can describe, gave His greatest gift. He gave Jesus. And what I want to give to my kids more than anything else, if I fail at everything else, I want to give my children Jesus. And I don't want to be the wall that prevents them as they look back, look at the way he really didn't live the life. He was preaching, he was saying, but he didn't really know Christ. I want to be the catalyst that brings my kids to Jesus. Michael Reagan. Michael Reagan, who is the son of President Ronald Reagan, our 40th president, was speaking at the funeral of his dad. And he was describing the greatest gift as a child that he received from his dad, Ronald Reagan. He says, "I was so proud to have the Reagan name and my dad, Ronald Reagan. What an honor," he said. "He gave me lots of gifts as a child. gave me a horse, gave me a car, gave me many things. But there's a gift he gave me that I think is wonderful for every father to give to their children. Last Saturday, when he opened his eyes for the last time, when I realized he's passing away, I realized that my father gave me the greatest gift. He says, back in 1988, on a flight with my father to Washington, D.C., to some other place, he told me about his love of God. Now get this, our president was telling Michael Reagan on this flight about his love that he had for God and his love he had for Jesus, his Savior. This is quoting from him. "I didn't know what he was talking about," he says at the time, but he says, "I know now. My father gave me the greatest gift, the gift of Jesus." If you want to give your kids something, it's not really about kids, it's not really about all the things that you give them as much as they want more. They want things that will last and have meaning. Give them Jesus. So the first part of the blueprint is we love like a father loves us. The second part, we give as a father gives to us. The third part of this, of our blueprint, is that the Father requires a choice. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever what? Believes. The Father requires a choice. We have to make a choice. We have to act. We have to believe. And see, a good father will never demand more than a child can give. But a father will require a child will have a certain level of responsibility and require a choice for these children. To teach kids how to choose and how to choose right in their life. Is that important? See, what a blueprint. Isn't it good? We have to choose. See, are we really laying a foundation for our kids to know Jesus? Are we really laying that foundation? Are we praying for our kids? Are we praying earnestly for our kids that they will come to know Jesus? That every day you will pray for protection from the enemy. Do you think the enemy is working against our kids? When I see 82% of our kids leaving our church, you better believe it. It's time the parents get on their knees and pray for their kids. They could miss out on everything. We need to be praying. We need to be showing them how to study Bible. We need to open up the Bible and read to our kids from the Word of God so they will fall in love with the Bible. I come in contact with kids and they're so bored with the Word of God, they don't want anything to do with it. We as parents and fathers, we need to teach them how to love the Word of God. Do we show them how to worship? Do we worship with our kids? Do we have family worship? Do we bring them to church and Sabbath school? See, if we're not doing it, guess what? There'll come a day they won't do it either. We give them the example. They're following us. And if you start young, they will follow you. If you're following Christ, they will follow you all the way to the kingdom. That doesn't mean they're not going to take some detours along the way. I also want to make a plug for Christian education. I'm here. I'm one of the byproducts of Christian education today. And I don't really know if I'd be here if what happened my senior year didn't happen to me. I'm not saying that kids can't be Christian on high school campuses. It happens. But there's things that can happen on a Christian campus that cannot happen on a high school campus. And I look at my niece and nephew who were raised in Adventism, went to church every week and went to school every week, and they went to high school. They got sucked up in peer pressure, and now they don't want to go to church. They want nothing to do with God, and one's on marijuana, and down the list. Now, I don't know. Maybe they would have taken that turn anyway. But there's something about Christian education that happens. There's things that happens. The Spirit of God works on our campuses, and I just want to make a plug for Christian education here in this church. All these things are teaching our kids what's important to us. Don't underestimate, by the way, your involvement in church. Do not show your kids that you just go to church and warm a pew, but you do nothing else. Show your kids that you're so in love with the church and the people and God that you want to serve. Show them the way to serve. Show them the way to share, to love people, to have people over and do things for people, show them a great example. My grandmother was passionate about the church, and when I go to her place every Sabbath, she was early at the front. She was right down at the steps, even till she was 80, almost 90 years old. She was greeting, loving everybody. She loved church, and that just made an impression on me as a child. Do they see you on your knees? Do they see you with your Bibles open? Do they see you? Do you talk openly about Jesus and your love for Christ? Do you talk about, do you praise God and have joy in your home? Oh, we desperately need a little joy in the home, right? Now, I bring this up. This is only a few miles from our house. But do you make Sabbath special? Folks, do not go home, and there's no excuse. I work hard. Do not make Sabbath afternoon 4 or 5 hours of napping. Do not do that. I was teaching a class back at Seminary. I'll never forget this, 5th and 6th grade. I'll never forget. I asked them, how many love the Sabbath? I went like this, 5th and 6th graders. Not one hand went up. And I said, why? What's wrong? Because my parents, we can't do anything, and my parents make us sleep. They sleep all afternoon, and we can't do anything. Do not make the Sabbath like that. Make Sabbath a joy. Get together with other people. Make it the best time of the week. Show them an example that Jesus is fun and having a relationship with Christ is fun and there's joy. I truly believe love for Jesus is caught, not taught. A good father loves like the Heavenly Father. A good father gives like the Heavenly Father. A good father requires a choice and gives responsibility like our Heavenly Father. But last part in the blueprint is a father prepares his child for the future. A father prepares his child for eternity, for heaven. See, we prepare our kids for jobs and careers. We do that. That's important. And for relationship, we do all those things. But we can't miss the most important preparation, and that is heaven. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. See, that's the blueprint right there, isn't it? To me, that is the blueprint of what a Christian, godly father is all about. Our children are watching. They really are watching us. And we need Jesus to come and live in us. There was an author, pastor, and one-time atheist, Lee Strobel, said in one of his sermons, "How can I tell you the difference that God has made in my life? My daughter Allison was 5 years old when I became a follower of Jesus, and all she knew was 5 years of a father that was profane and angry." He's telling us, he's preaching this sermon, he says, "I remember one day I came home, I was so angry that I kicked a big hole in the wall in the living room." He says, "I'm a little ashamed now as I look back because I'm sure my little Allison went to hide in her bedroom because she was afraid of me. But 5 months after I gave my life to Jesus," Lee is talking about, "after 5 months I gave my life to Jesus Christ, that little girl went to my wife and says, 'Mommy, I want God to do for me what he's done for Daddy at age 5. What was she saying? What she's saying, she never studied archaeological evidence regarding the truth of the Bible. All she knew was her dad used to be this way, hard to live with, but more and more her dad was becoming this way. And if that is what God does to people, then," she was basically saying, "sign me up." And he says, "at 5 years old, my little girl gave her life to Jesus." He says, "God's changed my family. He changed my world. He changed my eternity." And that's what it is to be a godly father. Host, the idea that our kids might be lost, the idea that my son or my daughter might be lost, that brings more pain than anything I can imagine in my life. And so every day I say, "God, you've got to come. You've got to fill me up with you and your love so I can be the father you've called me to be. Because I'll guarantee what we are is what they will become. I'm going to sing this song. And fathers, why don't you recommit to Jesus? You do that? Recommit to Christ. Runs in my life for a good night hug. He calls me dad, I call him bud. His faded old pillow, bare name Pooh, snuggles up close and says, I want to be like you. I tucked him in bed and kissed him goodnight, tripping over the toys as I turned out the light. Whisper a prayer that someday he'll see. He's got a father in God, 'cause he's seen Jesus in me. Lord, I want to be just like you, 'cause he wants to be just like me. I want to be a holy example for his innocent eyes to see. Help me be a living Bible, Lord, that my little boy can read. Lord, I want to be just like you. He wants to be like me. Got to admit I've got so far to go. Make so many mistakes, and I'm sure that you know. Sometimes it seems how hard I try. With all the pressures in life, I just can't seem to get it right. Trying so hard to learn from the best, being patient and kind, filled with your tenderness. Know that he'll learn things that he sees. Jesus he finds, be the Jesus in me. Lord, I want to be just like you, 'cause he wants to be just like me. I want to be a holy example for his innocent eyes to see. Help me be a living Bible, Lord, that my little boy can read. Lord, I want to be just like you. He wants to be like me. Right now, from where I stand, I see the sun is tall. But it's only 'cause I'm learning from the best father of them all. Lord, I want to be just like you, 'cause he wants to be just like me. I want to be a holy example for his innocent eyes to see. Help me be a living Bible, Lord, that my little boy can read. Lord, I want to be just like you. He wants to be like me. Lord, I want to be just like you. He wants to be like me. It's a good message. Lord, I want to be just like you, because he wants to be just like me. I want to be a holy example for his innocent eyes to see. Help me be the living Bible, Lord, that my little boy may read. Lord, I want to be just like you, because he wants to be like me. Father, our desire is that you come and fill us up. Oh, we need you, Lord. to be the fathers you've called us to be. We can't do it on our own. We need you. So please come and do a work in us. Make us the people that you want us to be. Help us to take the blueprint and say, God, this is the way I'm going to live. This is what I'm going to do for my kids. Put that love in us. Help us to give, to sacrifice, to give of our time, whatever they need. Oh, Father, we just want to be the best we can be, because our kids, when they look at us, they're looking at you. Help us to give them the greatest gift, the gift of Jesus. In Jesus' name.